The show is live and local. It's your local performance connection. And today and tomorrow, we'll be focusing on the Allerton Music Barn Festival. It's the fifth annual festival at Allerton Park in Monticello, sponsored by and presented by, rather, the School of Music at the University of Illinois. And on today's show, we have a number of faculty members from the U of I School of Music, all of whom are participating in one or more of these concerts, which open tonight at 8 o'clock with an evening of Strauss waltzes and Viennese bonbons. We mostly talked about that program on Tuesday's show, so we'll be focusing on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday concerts on today's program. Stay with us here on Live and Local. We just heard the beautiful slow movement from the quintet for piano and strings by Johannes Brahms, his Opus 34 quartet, and this was pianist Arthur Rubinstein with the Guarneri Quartet in this performance. And on Saturday night at the Allerton Music Barn at Allerton Park in Monticello, you can hear the Pacifica Quartet with pianist Ian Hobson perform that work in its entirety, along with a program that also includes the Quartet for Oboe and Strings by Mozart. And unlike what it says on the website, if you have checked out the Allerton Music Barn website, one of the Prokofiev string quartets featuring the Pacific Quartet. And we have two representatives of that concert and one of Sunday night's concert at the Allerton Barn Fest here with us on Live and Local. Sibby Bernhardsen is the second violinist of the Pacifica Quartet and will be participating in all three of those pieces on Saturday night.
Yes.
And Stefan Milenkovic will be performing, tonight on opening night, the Strauss program, and also then on Sunday night in recital with Rohan da Silva. And are you playing on Sunday morning also, or
No, not this time. Yeah,
you're just doing everything. It seems
always in the cantatas. Yeah, but this time tonight we're doing all Viennese bonbons as per program, and then a recital with Rohan. Yeah, who's coming again here? So it'll be fun. Yeah,
it's actually a great venue.
I mean, it's not huge, which is in a way it's an advantage, I think, for the sound and intimacy. And then it just has this feel to it that is really quite rare. So
yeah, actually, I will agree with Stefan. It's actually a really good setting for chamber music because of that. It's intimate and it sounds pretty good there.
I think it sounds wonderful, having heard quite a number of the programs. And also with us, Ian Hobson, who is the pianist, of course, for Saturday night. And are you doing any of the other programs?
No, just the Saturday night program with the Brahms Quintet.
And I'm willing to bet this is not going to be remotely your first performance of that piece.
Oh, no. In fact, I think we've played it together, the quartet, in the Great Hall, Granite Center, which is also a wonderful place to play, but very different. And this is much more intimate. All the wood makes a very nice resonant sound, even in a small space. So it's very congenial.
Well, it's more of a chamber-like space for chamber music, probably more a little closer in a very in a rustic sort of way to the sort of place that any of these pieces might well have been played in Mozart or Beethoven's or Brahms's time, I imagine.
That's right. Well, this piece exists in another version, and it's a strange history. It was actually conceived as a string quintet without piano, and that wasn't published. It didn't come to full fruition, but there are two versions. There's one for two pianos and no strings, and then this version that we know, which is, of course, the best version, mm-hmm. for piano.
Now, how do we know if it was the best if the other ones weren't?
Well, you just play the other ones, you'll see.
it was because it was Clara Schumann. She's the one, when he wrote it first for the string quintet, she felt it just lacked clarity. And then when he changed it to a two-piano version, she said, well, now it just lacks sort of the sonority of the strings. And then the final version, the perfect version, was for strings and piano. And just recently, actually, now they have been some versions that they made from sketches of a string quintet version, actually with two cellos. But I think the one that we're playing is, of course, that's his final version is probably the best one.
Well, you can say that about Brahms, but Bruckner final version, you just never know. That's a whole other story. Bruckner having had many people tell him to edit one way or another, but Brahms, of course, trusted Clara Schumann, who was a great friend of his, mm-hmm. and other stories abound as to what may or may not have happened with them, but musically speaking, she was quite a muse.
Mm-hmm. But it's interesting, and, the connection with Clara Schumann and Brahms and first and second versions, as I'm doing a lot of Schumann now this season in piano music. And in just about every case, I do the first version of various pieces, not the one that Clara Schumann told Schumann, you're too crazy, you know, do it again. And because the eccentric... strange version is usually the most interesting one with Schumann.
Well, what makes something strange in this case that Clara might have had a whitewash out?
Just very extraordinary syncopations or piano effects that you know that don't necessarily come off. And in one case, she just found it too difficult to play. The finale to the second sonata, and she said, write me another one. And so he did. And so the one that everybody plays is the one that she asked for. But the first version is wonderful. But I mention this because of with the piano quintet, you know, Schumann was the first person to write piano quintet mm-hmm. Of the great composers. And it's a fantastic piece. Mm-hmm. And it's obviously the thing that gave inspiration to Brahms to write his equally wonderful piece in this format.
Yeah, that's true.
How often does Pacifica Quartet play with other instruments? I mean, I know I've heard you guys do it occasionally.
You know, we do it a fair amount, and it's really great for the quartet, actually, to do that. We, obviously, most of our concertizing are as a quartet, but then I would say maybe 10 or 12 times a year we get to play, most of the time with a pianist, or, like, for instance, last year we did the Chasson Concerto for piano violin with Stefan, and that's, it's always, and now we're doing an oboe quartet, Mozart, and it's really great for us to play with other people because we get so used to playing with each other in our way of thinking, and it's always the rehearsal after we play with somebody else. It's very different from the rehearsals before because, you know, you get an outside perspective. And even pieces that we played a lot, like for instance the Brahms Piano Quintet, we played it fair amount and with different pianists, and it's every pianist has a different perspective, and we're lucky that most of the people we play with are very good. So it's always brings a new perspective. So it's very interesting and actually helps us stay fresh to do a fair amount of playing with other people.
Are you able to articulate at all maybe a specific example of what might be different? You said if when you play with a pianist, your next rehearsal will have a different dynamic.
Yeah, it can just an approach, let's say an approach to timing or pacing or color or somebody's pianist approach just to tempo. It could be something very specific. Sometimes it doesn't even have to be a drastic thing. Sometimes it could just be somebody's approach to transitions, and then just because they talk about it and we work on it in the rehearsal, then when we go and rehearse our Haydn quartet, when we get to a transition, somehow in the back of our mind we're mindful of what we were doing the day before, you know, just things like that.
And then how long does it take you to slide back into standard string quartet mode?
Well, I mean, hopefully we just become better from getting positive influence for others. So yeah, it's always a learning experience, and it's fun, and it's refreshing, and it's a little bit different way of playing also, playing with somebody else.
Well, somebody else of another
instrument,
timbre who's
yeah,
not,
exactly.
Yeah, right. We're talking with Sibbie Bernhardsson of the Pacifica Quartet and Stefan Milenkovic of well, of himself, who will be playing. All these gentlemen are on the University of Illinois School of Music faculty. He'll be playing on the concert tonight at Allerton Music Barn, which opens the fifth annual Allerton Music Barn Festival at Allerton Park in Monticello. And also Ian Hobson, who is, recently, quote unquote, retired from the University of Illinois. And we were getting some good laughs out about that just a bit ago, because I gather retirement, you're teaching just as much as you ever were so far.
Yes, it's pretty busy so far.
And, of course, giving yourself plenty of performing opportunities. And Ian Hobson will be performing with Pacifica on Saturday night, and also with oboist John Dee, who will be joining us later on today's program. The Pacifica will be doing a string quartet in addition to these two pieces with other instruments, and it's a quartet by Prokofiev, which I don't know at all. Mm-hmm. For those like myself who are not familiar with the Prokofiev string quartets, what would be your brief introduction?
Yeah, well, it's a great quartet. Last year we did the cycle of all the Shostakovich works, and we're in the midst of recording all of them, and on each album we're actually adding a piece of one of Shostakovich's contemporaries, so Prokofiev being one of them. So this is a piece we've actually played quite a bit. And it's a perfect example of Prokofiev, because his orchestration is brilliant and how he uses instruments. He wrote this around in the middle of World War II, where he and other leading artists were taken away to the Caucasus region for protection from the Nazis. And that's actually, so there were him and many other writers, and that's actually where he wrote this quartet. So it's very much inspired by actually music of that region. For instance, the second movement, it's a three-movement quartet, the second movement is based on a Cardanian love song. And that's Cardanian is the county, I guess, in the Caucasus region where he was. It's a wonderful quartet. It's a perfect example of Prokofiev. It's exciting. It's folksy. It's melodic. He writes brilliantly for the instruments, and his whole use of texture is fantastic. It's a piece we play a lot, and we love. Yeah, we're happy to be playing it here.
It's the string quartet number 2 in F major by Prokofiev. Here's a little bit of the final movement of the piece. This is a performance by the Emerson String Quartet, and before too long you'll be able to go out and listen to Pacifica on recording. But of course you can hear them play it live Saturday night on the 8 o'clock program at the Allerton Music Barn. You're listening to Live and Local. And you heard actually a good bit of the final movement of the String Quartet number 2 in F by Sergei Prokofiev, a performance by the Emerson String Quartet. The Pacifica Quartet, which is the string quartet in residence at the University of Illinois, will be performing that work Saturday night at the Allerton Music Barn Festival in Monticello. The concert starts at 8 o'clock and includes also the oboe quartet of Mozart, the piano quintet of in F minor of Brahms, and then this quartet with the Pacifica. On Sunday at the Allerton Music Barn, there are actually two concerts, one in the morning that will feature some music of Bach and also a new work. We'll be talking about that on tomorrow's Live and Local. But in the evening at 8 o'clock is a recital with a duo that has actually been on our campus before, violinist Stefan Milenkovic, who's on the U of I faculty, and pianist Rohan Da Silva, with whom Stefan often performs. And I've had the privilege to work with both of these gentlemen before. And you have some specific ideas on how you like to give concert programs. For example, no intermission, but also you do a certain amount of announcing from the stage and sometimes conversing with the audience.
Yes, I think a concert should be fun. It's a fun experience. It can be a spiritual, religious experience, but I don't think it has to necessarily be presented in a, you know, a very somber way. The music itself, classical music, is genius enough, it's timeless enough, that it doesn't really need a lift in itself. I don't think you need to mix classical with other genres just to make it more interesting and attract, you know, younger audiences. But I do think that the whole presentation of a concert can be less, well, severe. In my concerts, I look at it as a show, as if you were to go to a movie. I don't see a problem why you shouldn't be able to sit through an hour and a half of a program, rather than have a break after 40 minutes and do the usual, you know, two segments. And I really believe that it has to be an interactive experience. Once the music starts, there is no question that, you know, something involving is happening on the stage. But I think in between, I feel as an audience member when I'm at a concert, I feel good when I see that the performer, you know, can introduce me into a piece, is aware that I'm there, kind of listens to the audience and plays along, not just for. And so I try to do that in my concerts. And, you know, of course, I'm lucky to have Rohan De Silva coming in from New York. He's actually Itzhak Perlman's pianist. He's the only pianist right now. But I've known Rohan since 94. And so we play together anytime we can. This was a great opportunity. So I think, you know, we're in it for a good time, because that's ultimately why we really love to play together. And we simply try to transmit this to whoever is sitting there.
And I can say from personal experience that it's fun to watch you guys interact with each other, mm-hmm. Because inevitably there's a certain amount of spontaneity to your get-togethers, because you don't get to do it all that often. You know, you're not in the same place to practice together all the time. Mm-hmm. So you practice a bit, but also interact a lot in the live situation, which
yes,
is fun
like
to see.
Yes, it's like two cooks trying to, you know, make a dish together. And both of us, we know the ingredients, we have our approaches, you know, they're similar, and on the spot we'll decide if we want to add a little bit more of that, less of this, you know, and just make something up right there and then. And that's what is fun. I don't believe that things should be set in stone in interpretation ever, really, because ultimately we are playing pieces that have been written and in a way set in stone. You can revise the editions and you can look at the urtext, the original edition and the manuscript, but ultimately it's written. So what we have to do is really revisit it every time you play it and bring something new. And, you know, there are a lot of ways to do it. One is to really analyze the music itself, and search for another meaning. My personal approach is that I work on myself, really, and I have very, very colorful interests other than music, and all of those really are in service of always keeping my interpretation fully, creative at all times, that I always have full energy at a concert. I don't believe in, like, second chances, and I believe in, like, going all for all at a performance. And for that, I think you need to sort of have always an inspiration. Sometimes you don't know exactly what it is, but you have to have a fire burning all the time. And I fuel this fire with all kind of things, and so that my interpretation is always different, so that I have a good time, and therefore the audience really, you know, believes in what I'm trying to do on the stage.
Well, I think they'll get a good eye and earful on Sunday night, Stefan Milenkovic and Rohan De Silva. The two advertised pieces are a sonata by Handel and also one by Beethoven, and then some things that you will be announcing by other folks as well. Here's a little bit from the seventh sonata of Beethoven. It's the Opus 30, number 2, correct?
Correct. It's a very stormy piece, thunderous piece, and we've done it before quite a few times, and it's a great, I think, great representation of Beethoven's madness and genius and sense of humor and lyricism, everything that why he's great, really, you will see in the sonata.
And here is a long ago recording from violinist Yasha Heifetz with pianist Emmanuel Bay. We'll hear from the scherzo onward, music of Beethoven that will be played at the Allerton Music Barn Festival this weekend. You're listening to Live and Local. That's some of the seventh sonata for piano and violin by Ludwig van Beethoven, a performance by violinist Yasha Heifetz and pianist Emmanuel Bay here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. You can hear the complete work played Sunday night by violinist Stefan Milenkovic and pianist Rohan da Silva at the Allerton Music Barn Festival in Monticello. That concert starts at 8 o'clock. And for more information on all of the concerts on that program, you can go to the web address allertonmusicbarn.com. Support for our show today comes in part with the support from The Great Impasta, a family-owned restaurant serving foods from northern Italy with more than 25 years. For more than 25 years, The Great Impasta, Lincoln Square in downtown Urbana. More information is available at 359-7377. In 2003, some peaceful women took on warlords and the regime of dictator Charles Taylor, winning peace for their country, Liberia. Our next community cinema screening, called Pray the Devil Back to Hell, tells the story of these freedom fighters. The free public screening is at the Champaign Public Library, Tuesday, September 6th, from 6 to 8:30 p.m. The film is closed captioned, and the discussion is translated by a sign language interpreter. On the final night of the Allerton Music Barn Festival, which will be Monday night, Labor Day night, there's a program that is sort of a continuation of last summer's Allerton Festival. Last year there was one of the two, as they're known, sonatinas for wind instruments by Richard Strauss, as sort of misnomers because sonatina implies a little sonata, but these pieces are rather large in scope for a large number of wind instruments. And the second one of those we played on this Monday's program, and also wind music by Antonin Dvorak, one of his serenades. And to conduct the ensemble is the director of bands at the University of Illinois, Robert Rumbelow, and we have also with us two of the faculty performers from the University of Illinois who will be on that concert, Bernhard Scully, who is the horn professor at the U of I, and John Dee, who is the oboe professor. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you,
Kevin. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks.
So do I have it, do I remember correctly that you did the first one last year and this year the second?
We actually did the second sonatina last year, and we're doing the first one this year. It's subtitled From an Invalid's Workshop.
And the other one is called From the Happy Workshop, but I always thought that the invalid one seemed a little happier than the happy one.
They're both quite cheerful. I'll have to say, you're not going to see any of that in the music. You're not going to hear any of that in the music. It's quite cheerful, quite sunny music. It's vintage Strauss. It's incredibly exciting, and it's everything you would want to hear if you loved Strauss's music.
But these are long pieces.
They are. They're 35 minutes, 40 minutes in length. The sonatinas are. This particular one is about 35 minutes in length and three movements.
And what's the configuration of winds? I've actually forgotten what's the instrumentation for this one.
Well, we've got oboes, of course. We have flutes. We have five clarinets. And I believe we have four horn parts in the Strauss. That's right. I was thinking the Dvorak has three.
Yeah.
Right, which is a little odd, but terrific as well.
Let's hear a little bit of the Strauss, because this is most people who know Strauss's music are most likely to know his big orchestral works, the tone poems and so on. And I remember it was a bit of a revelation for me when I started working here as the classical host on WILL. These wind pieces. I mean, I knew the horn concertos, but
Absolutely. That
was about it.
And many regard these as some of his most mature writing, written at after he was 80, the very last part of his life, along with the last four songs. These represent a very mature composer, and I think this particular work was written in 1944, and he was very much concentrated on writing another piece for winds because he hadn't written one in a long time.
Excuse me, I'm messing with our CD player to make sure it's actually going to queue up here. I'm going to cross my fingers that we're going to get some music as we listen to. Which movement is this?
This should be the first movement.
Opening movement. With Michael Collins leading the London Winds.
Bye.
And that's a little bit of the first of the two sonatinas by Richard Strauss for wind instruments. We heard the beginning of the first movement in a performance by the London Winds, led by Michael Collins. And you can hear a complete performance of the work by wind players from faculty at the University of Illinois School of Music, and also some graduate students or undergraduates who all are joining you.
Horn player coming from out of town from Los Angeles, who's a pretty big freelancer in Los Angeles, and the former director of the University of Iowa is going to come in. Former horn teacher at the University of Iowa, Kristen Thielander, is coming to play.
We also have that added feature of playing with our graduate students and TAs, and them being on stage and working together is always so exciting.
Exactly.
And they're wonderful players, so the product will be great.
So who's your student who's going to be sitting
Evan Tammen is my TA this year and a wonderful player, and he'll be playing on the festival with us when we require two oboes.
And that's John D. we're hearing, who's the oboe professor at the U of I, Bernhard Skelly horn professor. And conducting the proceedings will be Robert Rumbelow, director of bands. And we're going to hear just a little bit of, this is just a wonderful piece of music, from the... second of the two serenades of Dvorak. First one is just for string instruments, and it's a beautiful, beautiful piece of music. And this one for winds. Slightly different configuration, isn't it, from the Strauss?
It is. It's a little bit smaller than the Strauss. It includes a cellist and double bass, so there are strings on this serenade, even though it's considered a wind serenade. Three horn parts. And as opposed to the Strauss, Dvorak wrote this when he was in his 30s, as opposed to Strauss writing the sonatina when he was in his 80s. Four movements. It's in D minor. And I think what you're going to hear is a beautiful area where it changes into this triumphant and exciting D major closing, certainly featuring the horns.
Always important. Performance by wind solos from the Philadelphia Orchestra of the very final bit of the final movement of the Dvorak Serenade for String. Charles Dutoit was conducting that. And I rather suspect that the ensemble from the U of I School of Music at the Allerton Barn Festival will do a better job than that. I didn't like the sound of those horn players. We get partial to our styles of playing sometimes. Bernhard Skelly will be leading the horn section in the performance at Allerton Barn on Monday night at 8 o'clock, which is the closing concert on the Allerton Barn Festival this year. Here's a little bit of Bernhard in a recording recently made. Who's your pianist in this performance?
My mom.
Oh, your own mother. My mother used to play for me. What's your mom's name?
Joanne Minetti.
Joanne Minetti. And this is music by Eugène Bolta called En Forêt, In the Forest.
In the Forest.
Just a little bit of a teaser of a recording that eventually you can purchase for yourself once it becomes available, featuring University of Illinois faculty horn player Bernhard Skelly and Joanne Minetti, who is his mom, on the piano. Many of the pieces that are on that recording, French Music for Horn and Piano, he just performed at the Krannert Center last spring, and I was at that recital, and it was wonderful.
Thanks.
It was fantastic to hear you.
Were there.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good thing I would have been more nervous.
Oh, I doubt it very much. on. So Bernhard will be participating in that performance Monday night and closing night at Allerton Music Barn Festival. Professor John Dee, who teaches oboe at the U of I, will be on three of the concerts, including tonight's opener, music by Strauss and Other Bonbons, playing in the, what are they calling it, the Allerton Salon Orchestra or something like that?
Yes, a nice collection of Don Schleicher's conducting, and it'll be a wonderful collaboration of different sections, saxophones and strings and winds and brass and wonderful Blue Danube waltzes, and then some other things, Chardas with Stefan Moloch doing the soloist with Deborah Rickmeyer, and we have a great assortment of music tonight. I think it'll be something for everybody.
Yeah. So Soprano Dawn Harris is on that one?
Yeah, Dawn Harris will be singing and doing a little dancing. I think there'll be a lovely way to open a festival.
And then you're also playing on the Saturday night concert with the Pacifica Quartet, members of the Pacifica Quartet in Music of Mozart, which we will hear in a matter of moments. And then, of course, you're also on the Sunday night concert.
And also the Bach concert Sunday
morning. Oh,
you're
doing that one also?
Yes, we're doing, in fact, I'm doing the Oboe d'Amore. We've got two Oboe d'Amores there performing with the Bach cantata. So that morning will be just beautiful as well. For those who have attended in the past, it's a beautiful morning concert out at Allerton Barn. So we hope everyone will come out for that.
And in this case, morning spelled two ways, because it's the morning music, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G music, a cantata of cantata 198 of Bach, and also a new work by composer Eric Lund called Credo. We'll be talking with Eric on tomorrow's Live and Local, and also with Fred Stolzfus, who will be conducting that morning program. And then there's a concert on Saturday night as well, Sunday night as well. Boy, they just call it the Allerton Music Barn Festival featuring John Dee and Stefan Milenkovic, because Stefan makes the rounds.
It could be this year. We're so glad to be a part of it. And it's amazing how so many concerts and high-caliber concerts are put on in such a short period of time. People would have to go to a festival during the summer and spend a month to get this type of concertizing done, and what we do in five days. So everyone has a great time doing it, and we're already sold out on a number of programs, but we encourage people to call in and get tickets and put their name on lists and be part of the fun.
And for all the information, you can go to AllertonMusicBarn.com and find out. All the times are 10 o'clock, are 8 o'clock at night, except for Sunday morning, of course, 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. And gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us on Live and Local.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks for having us.
Have a great time this weekend. Support for our show today comes in part from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine Urbana, with wine tastings on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday's tasting features a selection of wines from both northern and southern Italy. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com. This is 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. And we're going to go out with a performance of the opening movement of the Quartet for Oboe and Strings by Mozart, and this happens to feature oboist John Dee with members of the Tantalon Ensemble here on Live and Local.